Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Show Summer Fun Edition. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and it's Summer of Fun. So that means, well, two things. We've established it is, in fact, summer. And second, we plan on having fun. How are we going to do that? Well, instead of waiting and around to try and find some lame-o bland tech news story because it's summertime, we're just talking about what we want to. Patrice is the mastermind behind this idea, so thank you, Patrice. And clearly this went well because this is our second year of doing Summer of Fun.
That's true. Mm-hmm. We've been very successful last year of not having a clue what we're doing and just doing calling it Summer of Fun, and now we're really pros at that. So
that's right. We are professionals. Don't try this at home, mm-hmm. kids.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, before
and when in doubt, C4.
Yes. You have clearly lived in the United States at some point.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, which, by the way, may be illegal in your state, all 50 of them, and most countries of the world.
But that's just nitpicking.
Yeah. I mean, the Mythbusters got around it, so.
They did, yeah. And it was glorious.
It may also get you on the terrorist no-fly list.
That might be a problem.
Yeah.
So don't fly with your C4.
No, they don't like that. Don't. They really don't like that.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No, but they do like us. So, who's here? Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm very, very busy because everybody's on vacation, so all the questions are coming to me. But I somehow managed, and yeah, I had to do a little bit of running around. Like, I finished work, I like had to run an errand, drop something off at like my ISP. Actually, mm-hmm. since we were talking about that from before the show. Yeah, and then had some fun. Came back, cooked some, ran late, all of that. It's all fine. All happy.
Nice.
And I've booked my vacation. Maybe I should mention that. So.
Also nice. A clear indication you're not in the United States.
Oh, how hell yes. I have so many damn vacation days, I don't even know what to do with them. And that's not what you have in the United States. You usually have two, and then you need them for really important stuff. So, like
right.
getting sick, for example.
And then you'll be
shamed
for using them.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
What? Madness. What's a vacation? I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I always ask that as well. Like, and at work, I'm like, everybody's talking about vacation. What is that? I don't mm-hmm. know what that is. No, but it's literally like you get out of office messages here, and it's like, oh, I'm gone for the next 4 weeks.
Yeah,
that's like I'm gone.
That's
bye.
That's normal for Europe. That's very normal for Europe.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Here it's
because we have a good idea. This thing called work-life balance.
Yeah.
Rather than slavery.
No, in the US, it's hey, I'm whatever. I'm having open heart surgery tomorrow from 11 till 4 p.m. But I'm available on my phone. Call me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's crazy. It's utterly crazy.
Ian, you just hit on something that shows just how insidious the idea of businesses controlling our lives is, because you mm-hmm. talked about work-life balance. Okay. Yeah. So you talked about work and then life. And so subconsciously that puts work ahead of your mm-hmm. life.
It does, doesn't it?
But it also mm-hmm. means that work is this key component that other things have to fit around and balance with. I like to talk about life balance and what you do
or
to make
life.
Money fits into there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
it's not about
work-life
balance. It's about balancing mm-hmm. your life.
That's I like that. I might well steal like that next time. I might steal that next time we talk about such things with people. Because I am a big believer in you have to make space for yourself or you'll burn out and you won't be able to continue. And
hell yes.
you want to be able to have a balance between doing what you enjoy and doing work. And also, if both of them coincide, that's brilliant. But if you do too much of the work and you enjoy it, you'll eventually get to a point where you'll stop enjoying it and it will cease to be fun. Because there's that point where it ceases to be fun anymore because it's work, and you lose the joy in it, which having a break from it, getting downtime from tech, going doing stuff like I've just been doing these last 2 weeks almost, has been one of those nice refreshing things of being away from tech and away from other stuff, or at least using it for leisure, not using it for work. Although I was away for a work trip, but that was more meetings and meeting people and shaking people's hands and eating nice food and drinking beer and all those kind of good things, which we don't do as a group very often because we all live in different parts of the world. So, because that's kind of where I've been for the last 2 weeks, is I've been in Romania with my colleagues. We get them out of their life and crypt, bring them in, bring them out, not carefully, not into the daylight, otherwise they tend to disappear, but otherwise it's all good fun. And so we did a load of that stuff, but that was really great. And then I came back and I've been in Wales for a week visiting alpacas, which was fantastic. But there's lots of old castles.
Did you say visiting alpacas?
Absolutely. I walked with alpacas.
That's kind of cool.
They're such gentle creatures. It was lovely. It was absolutely lovely. We went along the whole, it was myself, my wife, my 17 and 19 year old, and my 19 year old's girlfriend as well came along. And they took us out, they took us to the here with the, introduced us to the alpacas, gave us a lead, and we walked along, you know, and nicely walked along with them along the mountainside on the beautiful island of Anglesey, saw the world and things, and just and generally milled along, took pictures, took selfies with alpacas, and generally they're incredibly gentle creatures. Yeah. And then came back, and then we had lunch in the same field where they kind of wandered around us. It was really, really nice. It was just a really relaxing way to spend an afternoon out in the beautiful countryside.
A friend of mine here in Austria has an alpaca farm. I can tell you one thing, because he's trying the same thing with like the tours, and he said, they will go a certain way and then they stop. And then you will not get them anywhere.
Yep, that's
true. If they don't want to, if they just stop and like, I'm done.
They're just done.
Yeah, she said that. Some of them will go done. We go in a particular route because that's the way they like to go. And they're happy to walk that route, and then they'll come back. But we encountered a dog on the way that they hadn't seen before, and one of them was decidedly unimpressed. And so we turned around and we came back down again, and it was fine. But it was just sort of interesting. So very nice, gentle creatures they are. And their coats are the most amazingly beautifully soft thing ever. You can see why people make stuff out of alpaca wool.
They look really funny after shearing them.
Yeah, there was one that's been sheared and longest neck you've ever seen, and it's animal family. It's just absolutely lovely.
Speaking of, and they make good poop. Cuddly, Ben, how are you?
I am great. We're doing introductions. Planning my visit to the alpaca farm south of town.
Nice.
Good idea.
Really, honest. It's a very relaxing, very nice thing to do.
Yes. I will go pet alpaca, though. I can't even say the word.
Yeah.
Alpaca.
And alpacas weren't even Bolivian either, or Peruvian, whatever they're meant to be. They were from Scotland. The lady said they were bred in Scotland before they came to her.
I didn't know that. They
are indigenous to Peru and Bolivia, but particular ones that we had were actually bred and raised here in the UK. So I guess
But the country in the world with the biggest population of alpacas, I think, is the US.
Yeah,
really.
They have a lot of alpaca farms. They're the best at breeding and everything. Like whenever my friend talks about it, it's like, someone from the US came over because they know what the hell they're doing, and Europe is kind of still figuring it out. So
The Scots are enjoying alpaca growing, apparently.
Yeah, I'm now picturing Scottish alpacas in a tuxedo,
like Sean Connery, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm wearing kilts. Alpaca wool kilt. That's an idea.
That's what I was picturing. Alpacas that have been bred so that their coats appear as a tartan.
God, we've already gone off topic and we haven't even been here 5 minutes. I'm hoping someone's enjoying
five times.
Because the delight in my voice is talking about alpacas. It's joy. It's not. This is all coming from a very, very happy place. And there, I'm circling back to the start of our conversation, the importance of taking a bit of time for yourself and doing something that helps you to settle your mind and just go sit on a beach. Go walk, go do things that, and those things are but excellent
for your
well-being. Let me
get spare off into space.
Yeah.
Well played, Patrice. All right, so I'll riff on that. Hey, speaking of stirring off into space, that sounds like a great topic today. So let's do some geeking out on space. Mm-hmm. How'd I do?
You did beautiful.
Almost sounded professional.
Yes.
You almost like you could be on a Star Trek show, like really.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, since we are talking about space, nobody's wearing a red shirt.
No,
we all get to survive.
I have a little
today.
Bit red.
Yeah, no, I haven't got my red shirt mug on. I've got my red shirt mug. If I know what I've got, a spaceship's mug on. I'm today, and it's quite a nice design actually. The top of it's got the TARDIS with an infinity symbol. Then a long time ago, we've got the Millennium Falcon, 1981 for the space shuttle. 2001 for the one from 2001 Space Odyssey, 2122, which I'm guessing is going to be the Sulaco from Alien. Then 2265 for our for the Star Trek, and then Infinity again back to the TARDIS.
Yeah, goes around, comes around.
It doesn't.
And where's Douglas Adams in all today?
Yeah. Oh, and incidentally, I've dropped a link in the chat, which I'm not sorry about at all, and I've dropped a link into our. Into the IRC that if you click on, I can't be responsible for the money you'll spend. Final Frontier goodies. There's some superb art.
Oh, no.
Final Frontier. There's my guy called Juan Ortiz. And the art is glorious. If you like that kind of style of 60s, 70s.
I've seen a bunch of this art before.
It's gorgeous. And it's actually relevant because we're talking about space and science and some of that art.
But I want to talk more about the science topic. Yeah, I want to talk more about the actual space and science and so on. Like, I mean, sure, like we've talked about science fiction shows in the past, but like space is such a fascinating topic. Like, I mean, there's like. I think it has fascinated us as a human race for, I don't know, millennia probably. For a very, very long time, one way or another. I mean, we made up names for objects we saw in space and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. Why is Mars called Mars? Like, exactly because we made up stuff and we've been fascinated with what's going on. And I mean, you would think... With like everything happening the last century, basically. And I mean, everything we learned about physics and observations and sending probes outside of our solar system by now. Mm-hmm. And we don't know anything. I mean, I think Neil deGrasse Tyson said it recently or maybe Chuck Nice, I don't know, on one of the podcasts I'm listening to. He basically said, I mean, the universe that we know of, that we understand to some extent, is like a few percent of the entire universe. And even that, we don't even know what we don't know. But there's like this whole topic of dark energy and dark matter and gravity, like a lot of stuff that we have, I mean, makes up most of what's going on and we have no clue, absolutely nothing.
The talk I went to with Chris Hadfield, and he was talking about the vastness of space and the sheer size of it and then putting into context how big everything was. He was sort of showing, well, and going back to Star Trek again, talking about warp speed and what that in reality would mean, the distance traveled. And we're still barely tickling the edges of what we can see still. It's fascinating that
just,
it's really
just one
not
thing.
Hot.
Star Trek happens in our galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of it.
Didn't even leave
Well, didn't they leave our galaxy? Yeah,
in Discovery, they did at the end a little, tiny little bit, but not much. It's like, this is, I mean, that's how big it is. Like,
it's the vastness of space. And pulls me back to the pale blue dot. And good old Carl Sagan. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing I've thought I would actually get a tattoo of, if anything I did, mm-hmm. would be a pale blue dot, as we sit there.
Yeah.
Look back. You can't not be humbled by
that. In reality, nobody would even see us. Like, no. We don't see planets in other systems, really. Barely. Yeah. I mean, we can tell if they're in front of their whatever respective sun or suns. Yeah. We can tell, hey, there is something, and we can do some measurements and figure out what they're like made of and stuff.
Yeah. And we can kind of guess the atmosphere as well. We can kind of guess whether they're like us, in a position where they're between their central star and the farther reach of the galaxy, and kind of go, well, that's quite habitable because it shouldn't be too hot given what we know about the Earth.
Well, and even that has been debunked by now. The whole habitable zone and so on, because we figured out that stuff can live in, like, for other reasons in other places. Even in our own solar systems, we're figuring out, hey, like, places where we thought nothing could survive, something is surviving. Even on our own planet, that's happening.
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, based on the habitable zone measurements, Venus and Mars should be habitable. But there's other things going on there.
Mm. Yeah, and maybe they were at some point, or will be at some point. I mean, that's also, like, everything takes forever. Like, our own sun is about halfway through its lifetime. But that's a damn long time.
And if you think about our planet, there was whole points of which this wasn't habitable by us.
Exactly. Yeah. As I said, and at some point in the future, it will not be, we know that. It will not be habitable. It's whether it's our fault or not, different story, but at some point it will not be. I mean, at some point it will disappear. But
so will at that point then Venus be habitable and people maybe be living on Venus, for example? I mean, just plucking one out of the hat there for the sake of argument, you know, and that kind of thing, because of time and evolution and the change of the environment. And again, the effects on us and them and that and everything else.
Yeah. What's also fascinating is, I mean, we started basically the last century. We started with the question, are we alone out there? Is there anything like us out there? And then as our telescopes, our spacecrafts, our understanding improved, we figured out, there's not just one or two other places like us. There is billions and trillions, and we haven't even seen all of them yet. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much that it's very unlikely that we're the only life in the universe at all.
Yeah, it would be credibly. It would be credibly. What's the word?
Yeah, it would be super stupid. Unlikely. It doesn't mean intelligent life. Doesn't mean life like us at all. Like, who knows? But some random thing that somewhere happened, and even if it's one other planet, is very likely.
Yeah, I think it's very arrogant of us to ever believe that we are alone in the universe.
Yeah,
well, we didn't know any better. We still don't know any better.
I think it's very. I think we still. Yeah. I think we still don't know. But I think it's very arrogant for us to believe that we wouldn't be. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are more intelligent. They've looked at us and gone, "No, I'm not going near them primitive apes," and disappeared off again. I mean, it's. You just don't really know.
Some,
I mean,
corner somewhere on one of the trillions or whatever, however many planets. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, there is.
Might never see them. They might have existed before us. They might exist after us. Who knows?
Yeah,
they could. I mean, there's already wacky theories parallel that, with us, but the distances are so great, hence the Fermi paradox.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
that they. They might as well not exist to us, because there's no way that we would have any way of knowing that they're out there.
Yeah.
It's
there is some ways we could figure it out, and that's what we're trying. And one of the way is measuring and observing everything and hoping that we see something that tells us. I mean, at that point, there was something. Because the light
isn't
is
our limit,
very old.
The limitation of the speed of light in terms of being able to communicate across those, that vast space. Because if I send a message to David Tom, it gets there, I could be dead. And by the time they 100... send a reply, two more generations of me have gone by before they reply and say, hello, Ian. You know,
yeah. And that's probably even the optimistic one. If we have to send a message to the other side of the universe, by the time it even reaches them, I mean, we will be gone. Like, it's for sure, because our sun burned up at that point. Like, if it takes 6-7 billion years to get there, I mean, and that's how far back we can look. I mean, we can see galaxies. I mean, now with James Webb, we can see galaxies that are really, really old.
Yeah. I mean, that's another fascinating thing. We can see
galaxies that are gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, that's true. We know that. We've seen them even go. So,
I mean, that's kind of a concept that I think people find it hard to kind of grasp, that you can look into space, you're not seeing like you would be your hand in front of your face moving and the changes in it. You're seeing something happen incredibly long time ago because of the time it takes the light to reach the Earth.
Well, I mean, technically, we do that all day because we see the sun and that light is, what was it, 18 minutes?
Oh, it's minutes.
Maybe it's 8 minutes. Old, I don't remember. But it's like minutes old at least.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of thing
from
really.
Sun to Earth, 8 seconds from Earth to Moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And which in and of itself is crazy when you think about it, because when we see what maps or drawings of Earth and Moon, they appear very close.
Yeah.
Astronomically, they are, but practically speaking, they're really, really far apart.
Astronomically, they're basically the same.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, technically, we're not even seeing each other in real time.
Even in person, we wouldn't be seeing each other in real time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true, because even our brain has a slight like computational delay. We know that.
Yeah.
So in space, it's funny. Like,
Patrice, you brought up we've gotten beyond the edge of our own solar system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another place where it shows just how great the distances are. We're talking about Voyager 1 and Voyager 2
probes that
were launched in 1975. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, 75, 76, somewhere there.
And
it was 74, 75, I think.
And it's taken until this century for them to get to where they are. And when we nearly lost access to communication with this communication with Voyager 2, it takes 11 hours for the signal to get between Earth and Voyager 2, and that signal's traveling the speed of light.
And they still somehow wiggled something a little bit and figured, like, sent a message and somehow got it to like still reach it and reconnect. So that was the craziest part, like, where it's like, I mean, we thought we lost it and they somehow still jerry-rigged something and sent a request like a million times, and eventually it was like, oh yeah, it worked.
The likelihood that they could have regained communication at some point was reasonable, because it has a reset cycle where
that is software engineering at its best. That they thought ahead and thought of like all the crazy stuff that could happen over decades and figured out ways to still keep it going for as long as it can. I mean, it was supposed to die already, like, because they thought it would run out of power, and they figured out ways to still keep it going and save some power and so on, because it's too far away from our sun now.
I mean, I'm presuming that the computers on board that have got a 4-digit clock rather than a 2-digit one.
Oh,
so there's no millennium going on, because you'd worry at 70s, you'd worry about that. What you'd think about that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. No, I said, like, that is the crazy part. It's like they really thought of almost everything. Mm-hmm. And even if they didn't, there's like really smart people looking at this and saying, okay, this is broken. What can we do to either fix it from here? Like, it's really far away. Like, no way we can't send a service robot or something to fix it. Like, not a chance in hell.
Yeah.
What can we do?
50 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like not no chance in hell. What can we do? And they figure out ways to do it, and that's why they keep like it keeps going. I mean, eventually it will die. We all know that.
Brilliant engineering. But... It's brilliant engineering, isn't it? Really, when you think about how cleverly they can continue to maintain comms, they can continue to make this thing work despite
and being we on the other and side we can't even get our phones to work. So
yep, no,
but they're easier to fix.
Getting so connection to your flat. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, but they're easier to just fix. Go back to the past and bring back some 70s engineers,
right?
Yeah, we should. Maybe we should. Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, but what we're doing there in engineering. I mean, and how much of that has trickled down to things we do and use every day? It's like, I mean, the physics that we figured out, the engineering that we figured out, like a lot of the stuff that was invented for space shuttles and rockets and whatever, is now in everyday objects.
Yeah, it's really, really a lot of materials developed for space travel and space use is now used in everyday.
Yeah, no, but not just that. I mean, sometimes it's about like code, engineering approaches, hardware. Like, I mean, when you build something that has to be really, 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 really reliable,
yeah,
for sure you learn one or two things that you can then apply in other places.
Absolutely. I mean, it's that thing of when you've got to engineer something that precisely and that robustly as well. I mean, and by that, I mean sort of thing that you've got fail-safe upon fail-safe.
Mm-hmm.
That whole mindset, once you've kind of worked out that and you can codify it, you can apply that to other areas of influence. So you can, all those kind of things filter down to good engineering. And then it's brilliant really thinking about it. You can, how you can make such sort of, because it's beyond comprehension. It's not beyond comprehension really. It's kind of.
For sometimes it might be. I mean, very few people understand like the details of it.
When the details of, I've got a couple of hundred kilos of thing here. I need to get into space. I need to get it let's say 7 miles up out of the atmosphere. And I need to give it, put enough power behind it to get it up out of the atmosphere. You know, all these.
Yeah, the math we had to invent for that. We had to invent new math to figure out how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what velocity does break out the Earth's atmosphere?
Like, and also how to come back again.
Then once you've got it there, how do I get it back? I mean, the
idea of bringing back engineers and scientists from the 70s actually isn't that crazy of an idea, except that we don't have time travel. A perfect example is when you look at what we did with the space program up through the 1960s, 1970s, prior to the space shuttle. To return a spacecraft to Earth, you had ablative shielding on the bottom of the craft.
Mm-hmm.
When humans decided, okay, it's time to go back to the moon again, and now we're working on these programs, they realized there was no one that knew how to make the ablative coating for a space capsule.
They had to reinvent it.
There was nothing. They had to start from scratch.
Which in itself might not be a bad thing, because I mean that's one thing about bringing back scientists and engineers from back then. I think they would be lost today because we have so much advanced the things that they were working with that I think they would have to relearn everything that happened in the last, what's that now, 70 years? Mm-hmm. Not quite.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite 70 years. Bad at math right now. To even understand what they could be doing today. So I think that, I mean, if you look at it, James Webb Telescope and so on, we have really smart people today still doing that. And so it's sad that they lost, I mean, I would have expected, because NASA is a government agency, that they would have had every document on paper somewhere in 5 copies. But maybe it's not too bad that they reinvented it, because they can reinvent it with today's means, with better technology. Yeah. I mean, we have technology today that didn't at all exist back then, a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. And so, they clearly figured it out, because we have had a successful Earth to Moon and return test flight of the Orion capsule.
Yeah, it's I mean, the for me, the honestly, the whole space, like the space, I don't want to call it industry, the space endeavor, call it that way, is for me the best of humanity, because we're not doing it for any like direct gains on Earth. Like, you're not gonna be super rich doing that. We're not doing it to fight a war, or like barely any political gains. I think some people might get some benefit out of it, but like overall for mankind, it's not a gain politically at all. But just doing it because we're curious, and because we can, and because we think it will be better for all of us.
I'd like
that's why we're doing it.
Were,
and we're all
I'd
doing
like,
it together.
I'd even, like to think it were that, not that we want military control over the atmosphere. Not
I mean,
that we want
are there
our,
people,
not that we want are the idea are there, that we can, that if I've got to jump ahead of the Russians, for example, looking at the American, looking at NASA, and that was a space race where they were both aiming to be there first.
Are there people doing that? Yes. Are there people thinking about that? Yes. There's an entire military who's sending up like satellites and weapons and whatnot.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
100%. There is people doing that. But I think, I mean, if you look at the scientific community, if you look at most of NASA, most of ESA, JAXA, I think it's, wasn't it Japanese? I always forget.
Yeah, it's really like
that. Even Russia and China, like, I mean, the biggest adversaries on the political level are working together when it comes to space and when it comes to scientific, like, progress.
Yeah.
That is the interesting part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because talking again, the Chris Hanfield lecture I was at, he was talking about, because he's been to space, to the ISS, both on Challenger and via a Soyuz. So we went out with the Russians. So that was sort of very much collaborative work.
The height of the Cold War, they were still working together. There were wars and everything. I mean, even today, that's one of the, I mean, Russia has kind of isolated itself quite a bit on the world stage. Not 100%, because there's still some countries supporting them. But this is the one area where everybody's still working together.
Sometimes
talk about, hey, we should pull out or whatever, which is political.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only place in the world you will see American military officers on Russian military hardware.
Yeah.
And literally up there, they're just people doing a job.
Yeah, exactly. They're good friends a lot of times. They
Chris,
might be from different backgrounds, different militaries, bigger, different everything, but they're friends.
Yeah.
Chris said the same thing about that whole working with the Russians. It's just more people going to do stuff out in space. It's the boundaries of the international boundaries can't disappear, really. It's just your work colleagues.
Yeah.
In the end, we've got a job to do. We're trying to learn something. We're going to learn some really interesting stuff out here in space, and we're going to do that together. And that's fantastically encouraging for the world, really. Once we go, I get behind our petty squabbles over bits of land.
And I mean, up there, we need each other. We know right now, especially since we don't have any orbiters, that we need Russia. And Russia needs our money when it comes to the space program.
Yes.
Yeah. Plus, the launch site is actually in Kazakhstan, so.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, even that, yeah.
And for the Soyuz, it's
There's a phenomenon, which I've completely forgotten the name of, that people that get up into orbit experience, where it changes their perspective on humanity. And it's because they see Earth as a complete thing and and not a series of political borders.
Yes. And you see it, they see it like in a very short time span. It's not, today we're going to see the US and tomorrow we're going to see Russia. No, they see everything within, it's like less than an hour. Yeah, something like that. I think it might even be 90 minutes, but it's like, it's a very short, like it spins fast, so fast compared to like the space station, that they get to see and experience everything and see everything from a very, very high up perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of also the idea behind the pale blue dot.
Exactly. And did you see
the moon or the Earth rise on from the moon? Like,
oh yeah, the Christmas photo from the Apollo missions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just shows you how insignificant all our worries, all our fights really are.
Yeah.
It does. Hey, you know,
Bill Shatner,
if only we could learn about that.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Shatner coming back from his trip on whichever one of the ones he went on, he came back humbled by the by the vastness of space and very much.
Yeah, that was more the Bezos mobile that he wrote, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Oh, but by the way, did you hear Anson Mount's retelling of doing his monologue?
Yes. Mm. Yep.
Yeah, it's like okay,
take
guys,
you
got to get
glory
this right
from you, Ben. You tell us.
Yeah. Pretty much, they were doing it. Like, okay, we have to get this right, since like literally, like 4 or 5 people in the world have ever done this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then the when he's doing it, the producer's like, oh yeah, by the way, Shatner's in space.
Yeah. So they were recording space, the final frontier, while Shatner was actually
it's the only time they could record it.
Which they say Bill Shatner's reminder that as much as you can do these things, it will always be about him.
Yes,
it's true.
Mm-hmm. You know what else it's all about? TSO host.
TSO host.
Yes. Yes. And the reason it's all about TSO host is because it takes a lot to do what we're doing. The resources, the infrastructure to host live shows every single week, that takes a lot. It takes a lot more than we would be able to manage on our own. And that's where TSO Host comes in, because they like to give back to the community, and we're part of that community that they're supporting. They are giving us the bandwidth so we can live stream shows every single week. They're giving us the hosting space, so there's a place for the website. They're giving us that server storage we need, so there's a place for all of the show recordings to live. How can they do that? Well, because this is what they do. They provide web hosting. They help people buy domain names. They provide a really solid service, which obviously they do. We test it every single week. Well, every single day, because the website doesn't go down, well, unless we do something. It's typical. Actually, is it safe to say, Patrice, it's never been our or their fault when our website has gone down?
I don't know. There was once or twice where I wasn't 100% sure who broke it. There might have been one overnight that I like recently that I'm not sure about. But for all we know, I broke it. So,
but ultimately the fact that they're here to help us when something goes wrong, and they're really good at that too, is great.
Yeah, we didn't even notice. I mean, to be honest, we didn't even notice. We only noticed because some services like didn't restart properly. So.
Mm-hmm.
So for all we know, it was a announced maintenance window that I did not pay attention to. So,
yeah, there you go. So the point is, their services are so reliable that that we don't even have to pay attention to feel confident that everything is just working.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So, what can we do to show our appreciation for TSO hosts being here supporting us, super easy. Go out on social media and thank them for being here supporting the British Tech Network. Only takes a minute, and letting them know that you appreciate them is good karma, and it's the right thing to do. So please go let them know that you appreciate they're here.
Yeah. Now, what's also good karma? I wanted to talk about the news show because we haven't talked about it in a while.
Oh, yes. Please talk about the news show.
The news show is still around, if you haven't noticed. We're still posting it. There is a Patreon now, so Kyle switched it over to Patreon because it's just easier to manage. And he's still posting a news show every day, every Monday till Friday, like every weekday. But you get the shortened version. So you get a news article, lovely news article every day. In your inbox or in your podcast player, really nice. If you want the full length version, like everything included, like all the news stories that Kyle found in usually 5 minutes or less, $1 a month is all it needs. $1, one single dollar, and you get it everything. And if you pay more than five, you get actually even the special news weekend edition of the news show. So you get 6 days a week. So that's really, really nice. It's really good. He's a pro. He's a voice actor. He's been doing this for, I think, I don't know, 13, 14 years or something for BTS.
Yeah, he's been doing it ever since I've been on the show. Ever since I've been on the show, and I've been on and off over the last 10 years or more. And Kyle's always been, he used to come on Big as well at the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's a brilliant guy. Really, really good at what he does.
Exactly.
Patrice, I need a clarification, please. So you said it takes a dollar to be able to get the whole show.
The full show. Every single day.
Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But you can pay more if you want to.
You can absolutely pay more if you want to.
If you want to pay $20 a month, you can do that.
100%. And you get this for 20, you would definitely get the weekend edition. Anything more than five, you get the weekend edition for it. So. But yeah, you can pay two, three, four, however much you want. And instead, but the minimum is $1 a month plus taxes. But yeah, it's just how it is. So highly recommend doing that. It's really good.
You know, I'm so glad the new show is still around. I'm so glad we got through that rocky patch where it looked like we might lose it forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that it's still here.
I am.
Everyone needs to chip in though, because that's how we keep it happening. So please do that.
I mean, he's at, I think, $70 a month, I want to say currently. So it's not a lot, to be honest. And it should be more. Yeah, $74.35 it says on the website currently. So it's not a lot, and it should be more, and it could be more. And I really like I want him to keep going, but you know, he's a professional. So like his time is valuable.
Money, I mean, in the end. Yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, if you think about it, for let's say $5 a month, you get, what's that, 24 news shows a week? Yeah, six days a week. So about 24 a week, 24 a month. That's a really good deal.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about that.
Yeah.
And even if you just do it $1 and you get, what is that now? 20 a month, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even that is a good deal, but give him more. Like, why not?
Yeah. And it shows you Kyle's commitment to doing the show, because this is at a considerable discount of the price he can rightfully command.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what he usually would get for his time.
Yeah.
Like professionally paid gigs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think he still is the NFL announcer for the Philippines, I think.
He's the voice of the Philippine sport, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, I'm pretty sure he gets paid way more than that per hour. So
that's a very safe bet.
So ladies and gentlemen, pay him now.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah, he's a professional. Yep.
Yeah.
And totally worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of professional, to make the rest of the show sound more professional, Patrice, can you tell people where to find the chat?
Of course I can. So we have a really lovely live chat that we we join every time we record, which we do every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. And and also every Friday, we have a Mac show where we talk about Apple things, or right now, some are fun, let's say, Apple-related-ish, sometimes not, topics. Yeah, we're just also doing summer fun, but usually we're doing Apple-related shows, and you can do that Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time. And then you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com, and you're in. It's how easy it is. It's how easy you get into the live chat. You can talk to us. You can see the links we're posting, like the lovely link to Star Trek gear that Ian posted. Cool things, if we're doing them, we will do a special show just with cool things. So not during summer fun, mm-hmm. but we decided we'll do a special show where it's all about cool things. Since we, I think, have so many now. We all collected them, I guess.
I have a few, definitely.
Yeah, that's good. But I mean, fall is coming and then we'll need more. So it's all good. And yeah, that's how easy it is. But if you're listening to this in the recorded form, you're like, oh shoot, I really wanted to join live chat, but I can't. I'm whatever. I have to take care of the kids, of the dog, of the bunny. I don't know. I'm at work. I'm driving. Whatever. Like, I don't want to. It's also fine. Like, we don't mind. Like, you listen to the shows however you want to listen to them. We're just happy that you're listening to them. You can still get to the chat transcript. We have a little bot in our chat, and it records everything and then puts it up on the website. So you can at least see all the things that were talked about, and you can see all the links and all of that. And in order to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there is a little calendar that pops up, and you put in the date when we're recording. So for today's show, for example, that would be the 17th of August, 2023, August 17th, 2023. And if you put that into the calendar, it will show you today's transcript with the awesome link from Ian.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice.
You're also welcome.
Thank you for reminding everyone about the Daily News show. That
I enjoy it so much that I've really wanted to share that. It would have been my cool thing at some point, I guess.
Well, I bet it will be at some point.
Oh, it probably will be.
In fact, it should be our show's cool thing every week.
It is.
I agree. Yeah. Hey, as long as we've made it this far in the show, we might as well tell people where to find us.
Yeah.
So,
somewhere in space.
Yes, we are in
so
space.
So give me your space time coordinates, right? That's what we need.
We do.
Because space alone is not enough. Time alone is not enough. You need space time.
So,
it's all that timey-wimey stuff.
Space-time mm-hmm. coordinates. Oh my gosh, you can actually look that up.
Oh, yes, sure. But it's super easy.
I was thinking there's a calculator somewhere.
Yeah, but it's quite easy because I'm on planet Earth. I'm in Austria. I'm in Vienna, and right now it's 9:15 p.m. on the 17th of August, 2023. So you should be able to find me, right? Easy enough. But if you want to find me on the shows, you can do that every Thursday for the big show, every Friday for the Mac show. You can find out everything about what I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcasts, the projects, literally everything on my website, thepatrice.com. And if you want to like talk to really cool people and like join a really cool social media network called Mastodon, I have my own Mastodon instance, and there's a bunch of really nice people like Ben, for example, on it. And if you're a friend of the show, if you support the news show, for example, you're definitely a friend of the show. But even if you're just listening, if you know me, reach out to me. I'll give you an invite. And then you can join the exclusive club of techhangout.social.
Awesome. And Patrice, while you were doing that, I was dropping a couple links about space-time coordinates in the chat. So that'll be there for everyone that's watching and listening now, and for everyone that checks it out in the future. Yeah. Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me here on planet Earth. I'm located in the UK, in the north of England. And I will be here most Thursday nights on The Big Show. Otherwise, I'm usually found on LinkedIn. Look for Ian Grant. Look for Veeam. One day I'll get the right hand to get the point of my little logo I've got on my my backdrop here. Yeah, only just.
Well done.
But yes, I am there. That's me. And so, yeah, reach out if you're interested. I'm there on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's the easiest place to find me. I don't do too much with the other ones except for sort of personal stuff rather than work. And, of course, the Slack room. I cost someone some money the other day by recommending a really good Mac app for power management and stuff. So, nice. Yeah.
Nice.
I pop up there from time to time.
And Ben, where can people find you? I can tell you're already in orbit. So
yes, you can find me on the outer bands of the Milky Way galaxy.
Wow.
Yep. On this third planet of the Sol system, Sol 3. Mm-hmm. Some people might call it Earth, Terra.
Mm-hmm.
Luna's bitch, the usual. you can also find me on the 10,000 Earthling social medias at Ben Raythig. You can find me on my website, raythig.tech. On Tuesday night, you can find me on this little show called Mac Voices with Chuck Joyner. Thursday nights, In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsberg. And of course, Thursday and Friday here on the British Tech Network on the Big and Mac shows. God, now after I said Big and Mac, I am hungry for a burger.
Welcome to America.
Welcome to the Terran Empire. Mm.
Welcome to the Terran Empire. So soon, Gilead. Jeff will just parrot me and add something more to it.
Yeah. All right, so I guess that means it's my turn, and hold on, I have just one more space-time coordinate link I'm dropping in. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, one more thing.
All right, so where can people find me? All right, so on social media, I'm Jay Gamet, basically everywhere. I'm most active on Mastodon and Instagram right now. Then shows. Like Ben, Chuck Joyner keeps letting me back on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. Then on Thursdays, Dave Ginsberg keeps letting me back on In Touch with iOS. Then here on the British Tech Network with all of you on Thursdays for the Big Show. Then back again on Fridays for the Mac Show. And then Brian Chaffin and I record the Context Machine. And I think that's all the stuff that matters for now. So with that, this has been a lot of fun, and I'm so glad that we had space. It's really big, like really, really big as our topic today, and it's been fun. So thank you to the three of you for just putting a smile on my face and making me think about how insignificant I truly am. So I do appreciate that. Yep.
You're very significant in our lives.
Yes.
Okay, I will take it. Yes.
Also, we come in peace. Take us to your leader.
Yes. Take us to your leader. Yeah.
Are you going to plant a flag in the person?
Yes. Okay. We will plant a flag, and it will grow to be a big, beautiful flag.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Anyhow, it's awesome getting to hang out with all of you. So thank you for that. Everyone that watches and listens live, thank you for being here. You are awesome. Everyone that participates in the chat, thanks for being there too. If you watch or listen to the show later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family. All of you are all awesome. Hey, Ewan, thank you just for being you. And Muller, feel better soon. And thank you for making sure we have people for shows. TSO host, thanks for being here and supporting us. And there we go. I think that's about enough for today. So with that, don't forget to join us tomorrow on the Mac Show for another Summer of Fun episode. Don't forget to join us next week for the Big Show again on Thursday. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.
Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper.
Peace and long life.